The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
You know, 2017 was a crazy, crazy year. And I'm not going to get into the details on, you know, some sort of recap of the year, because honestly, it was such an insane year. I really don't want to relive it. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. You know, we're still trying to figure out the motive of the Las Vegas shooter. A guy goes up into a hotel room with a crap ton of weapons, decides to take out half of a concert, and we still get no motive. But yet we're still trying to figure out how the reality TV president that we inaugurated at the first of the year has been more conservative in his actions than the Bush family. And we're still trying to figure out what the Russian collusion is all about. We've been doing that for over a year. But at the same time, we have found out that the FBI, the DOJ, the NSA, the entire Obama administration, Hillary Clinton's campaign, those related to it, are all corrupt. We found the real collusion was selling uranium to the Russians and then using the money to funnel through the money laundering scheme that we have as the Clinton Foundation. We're still trying to figure out the Awan brothers and whether or not they're driving around in Hezbollah hatchbacks, you know, selling used cars where they had to borrow cars from other car lots just so that they had cars on their lot. When we're also finding out that they also were IT guys and they took over the entire control of the Democrat Party's information technology systems, yet they didn't know anything about IT and were paid top of their class, top of their scale. But then on top of that, we find out that Obama looked the other way when Hezbollah was selling drugs down in South America and running the money through used car dealerships back to the Middle East. So maybe there's a connection there. We don't know. I mean, we witnessed Venezuela's collapse of socialism under its own weight while they sit on tons of liquid gold in the form of oil. But we also are watching the collapse of Illinois over their overly bloated pensions and the collapse of Seattle with their $15 an hour minimum wages. All socialism, all activities implemented via socialism, all detrimental. I mean, we're still watching, you know, the movement of the white supremacist, which was about, you know, 12, 13 of them in Charlottesville. But yet we're watching also Antifa go out and just bash the death out of people because, you know, no need to call the authorities. No need to, you know, look at how justice is actually supposed to be served. We're just going to go out and do it on our own in the name of anti-fascism. You know, we're also still looking at the NFL crumbling over its need-taking, its supporting of anti-Americanism. We're also looking at the fact that, you know, Al-Qaeda has been growing and getting back into full force. It's unbelievable when you think of the things that have happened over the year. You know, when you think of the attacks in London, the terror attacks here in America, you know, two of them in New York, one that didn't do anything right there at the subway, but then the car attack. You know, think of all the things that have happened over the course of this year. It's unbelievable. So I don't want to get into the weeds on all of the details of things that have happened throughout this past year. I just know that hopefully 2018 is going to be a little bit of a better year. I mean, we've had some crazy stories come up recently, especially over the Christmas break, that I really kind of want to get into. You know, one of them is the actual effects of a real net neutrality. You know, we've been talking about net neutrality and how let's go ahead and give government control of the internet railway, you know, because the real reason for the internet to be controlled by the government was based upon the premise of public utility. Well, you know, when you think of the power company, the reason why they don't allow a ton of power companies come through because of the fact that they don't want a million power lines in your front yard. The reason why they don't want a ton of competing railway companies, train companies and shipping organizations to put down rails themselves because they would have a crap ton of rails out there. But the internet's not like that. You know, there is more ways to receive internet than just via broadband and through a line in the ground. I mean, you can get it through data, through cell data. You can get it through direct satellite links. You can get it through many different ways. They don't need to have control over this. And if there is throttling going on, if there are things that are happening that are showing, that a company is favoring another company, well, you have federal trade laws that handle that. And they do all the time. But what we have to look at is in places like China and Russia, that they have the way to control whatever anyone sees or wants to put out there because they have real net neutrality. I mean, from the South China Morning Post, China shuts down over 13,000 websites in the past 3 years to, quote, maintain a clean cyberspace. Yeah, that's how they net neutrality. You know, there's nothing neutral about taking over the net. China has shut down more than 13,000 websites since the beginning of 2015 in a continuous campaign against illegal information online, state news agency reported on Sunday. The closures are a part of Beijing's moves to tighten control of the internet, as it previously explained, quote, to maintain a clean cyberspace. I'm sure that's what they're trying to do. Closer official scrutiny of online content began when President Xi Jinping first came into power 5 years ago. While critics said the moves restricted freedom of speech and were aimed at preventing criticism of the Communist Party, authorities maintained they were merely cutting out pornography and violent content online. Across the country, the authorities have enforced mass cancellations of licenses of net operators and closed down websites. The Cyberspace Administration of China summoned more than 2,200 website operators in China for talks and closed nearly 10 million user accounts that had, quote, violated relevant law and regulations. There it is, the strong arm of government that we talked about. The fact that they have the official monopoly on force, as Dan Bongino likes to say. And I think that's a great way of putting it. The authority on force is just unbelievable when you have government controlling the internet, the information technology, the information flow. You know, when we look at what's going on in Russia, speaking of the same situation, Vladimir Putin calls for web activities of some firms to be monitored. Yeah, there you go. That's a great way to do it. President Vladimir Putin on Monday said the Russian authorities should monitor the activity of some companies on social media during the next year's presidential election and assess the extent of their involvement in domestic politics. He did not name the companies or say if he was concerned about the activities of foreign or local firms, but Russia has been accused by the United States and other Western nations of meddling in their elections. This is from Reuters. We need to look carefully at how some companies work in internet and social media and how widely they are involved in our domestic political life, Putin said, speaking in a meeting with leaders in Russia's parliament about the new foreign agents law. Putin signed a law last month allowing authorities to designate foreign media outlets as foreign agents in response to what Moscow said was an unacceptable U.S. pressure on Russian media. Once designated, such firms need to provide details for the authorities on, for example, the source of their funding. It should be carefully analyzed how they are operating and will be operating during the presidential election, he said. But he said this should not narrow the space for freedom on the internet. Yeah, that's what they always say. Russia has already designated Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and Voice of America, both U.S.-backed organizations, as foreign agents. So we really need to think of that in the scope of what we deal with here in America. I mean, did the foreign intervention with Russia really make a difference in our elections? I don't think so. I think Hillary is such a bad candidate that she wasn't going to win. People were clamoring for change. You know, people were clamoring for the tax reform that they just got that they're trying to vilify as some evil thing. They were clamoring for the death of Obamacare, which the individual mandate has been yanked right out of it, which should aid in the demise of Obamacare. And you know, those that cry about, oh, they're all going to die because they don't have Obamacare. Well, what happened to the good insurance that all those people, some of them with terminal diseases like cancer, what happened to them when their plans just discontinued? They had to go frantically searching for new plans. You know, this past year has been insane, but it's also been eye-opening to a lot of things that we need to put in perspective. the effects of socialism, the effects of government control, the effects of overregulation, the effects of overtaxation. And hopefully in 2018, we are going to start to see some of this spill out and some of the results, you know, manifest themselves in such a way that it's going to be instructive to those who have been indoctrinated in the college campus. We're also going to be coming up on midterm elections that we need to really watch and hope that they don't get ruined with magical women showing up and accusing some sort of, you know, sexual impropriety. You know, that was the other part of this full year of 2017 was the craze of the Me Too movement and the women that are just coming out in droves over harassment. We don't want that to affect what's coming up in 2018. So we're going to get into some other stories here on the other side of the break. Stick with me. I'm Adrian Slade.
This is Adrian Slade.
Adrian Slade Broadcast.
You know, I wanted to say a few things looking back over Christmas, even though we're getting into the new year. It's amazing how people responded to Christmas on the left, because of course they can't stop politicizing anything and they cannot just go and demean anything that has Christian values behind it. I mean, one of the first things I saw was all of the SHIT Muslims have to deal with during Christmas. Yeah, that was an article from Vice. Of course, we're not talking about all the crap Christians in Syria have to deal with daily by Muslims: beheadings, crucifixions, sex slave trades. You know, they seem to have it a little bit worse over there. But this is an actual Vice column. I mean, it's amazing to me. And then you get people like, what's the guy's name? Neil deGrasse Tyson. This guy, the science guy. You know, he's a quantum physicist or something, and he's got a show about science and culture. Well, you know, when the term science is evoked, that it's probably not people with Bunsen burners and lab coats, you know, like the science march. You know, it's all about transgenderism because that's science. It's all about abortion and it's all about just being an atheist. That's what the code word for science is when you hear the left say, "I believe in science." They just believe in atheism. And he actually tweeted, "Merry Christmas to the world's 2.5 billion Christians and to the remaining 5 billion people, including Muslim, atheist, and Hindus, and Buddhist, and animist, and Jews, happy Monday." So, of course, this guy has a reason for being on television, and that's to indoctrinate. I firmly believe that, because they want to find a way to take that whole STEM movement, you know, science and engineering and what have you, and they want to inject that into culture in such a way to make it cool so that you can also frame it as, well, this is science and Christianity doesn't agree with science. Never mind the fact that Coptic Christians in Egypt were attacked. Hundreds of Muslim demonstrators assaulted an Egyptian Coptic Christian church south of Cairo. This is from Deutsche Welle's news. This marks the latest in a series of assaults on members of the country's Coptic minority. I mean, the church, yet to be sanctioned by the state and thereby gain full recognition legally, has been observing prayers for 15 years. Despite laws recently been eased, local authorities continue to refuse to give building permits for new churches, fearing protests by Muslim conservatives. Egypt's Coptic Christian minority comprises about 10% of the country's population of 93 million people and is the largest religious minority in the Middle East. Yeah, what kind of stuff were they dealing with on Christmas? Vice? How about that, Vice? Because the attack on Christianity is always just overlooked. You know, we don't even notice that that happened on Christmas by tons of Muslim extremists. Going on with the article, as people around the world prepare to celebrate Christmas and New Year's Eve, Egypt says it has introduced heightened security measures. Why is that? Why do we always have to placate to the Muslim extremist over things that should be recognized, such as our embassy being in the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem? Why do we have to put that and move that off the table just because of the fact that we might, you know, cause people to get bent out of shape? You know, let's placate the people. In fact, the artist Lord, you know, the royal, yeah, she actually decided she's not going to play concerts in Israel because of the fact that they recognize Jerusalem as the capital. She's, you know, going to side with the Palestinians. Lucky for Israel, they don't have to deal with her monotonous drone. I mean, her music is pure garbage. And in fact, the one song that she has is just such a monotonous one-hit wonder. Hopefully that'll just dissipate and we will never hear of this lady ever again. And what's amazing is Pope Francis used his traditional Christmas Day message to call for peace for Jerusalem and calling for dialogue between Israelis and Palestinians because, you know, we should look at a two-state solution, according to him. Something's really bizarre with this pope. Acknowledging growing tensions between them, he urged a negotiated solution that would allow the peaceful coexistence of two states. U.S. President Donald Trump recently announced that America recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This from the BBC. The controversial move drew international condemnation. Now, the Roman Catholic leader gave his Urbi et Orbi speech, in Latin means to the city and the world, in St. Peter's Square. He said, on this festive day, let's ask the Lord for peace for Jerusalem and for the Holy Land. Let us pray that we will resume dialogue and may it prevail that the both parties that negotiated the solution can finally reach one that would allow the peaceful coexistence of two states within the mutually agreed and internationally recognized borders. So he's down for a two-state solution. We also have the Archbishop of Canterbury using his Christmas Day sermon to focus on terrorist atrocities and the deceitfulness of populist leaders. Preaching to worshipers at Canterbury Cathedral, Reverend Justin Welby, compared the Holy Family to modern-day refugees. He also contrasted Jesus with populist leaders that deceive their people. So, you know, if you are one... Now, I'm not big into populism, but a lot of it is due to the fact that refugees are just being flung across the border. If you're one that wants to protect your country, he's calling you out. All on Christmas. So we have to think about the craziness of the left in during Christmas time. You know, the fact that they're going to gift wrap poo and send it to Steve Mnuchin's mansion. Yeah, that really happened. This is from New York Daily News. Los Angeles got a whiff of horse manure intended for Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin at his Bel Air home Saturday night. A neighbor discovered the Christmas-themed package on the driveway of the Trump cabinet member's house around 5:30 p.m. local time and called police. The bomb squad opened the gift wrap surprise and found, quote, a pretty good quantity of horse manure inside, LAPD Sergeant Briggs said. Local authorities wrapped up their investigation at the Bel Air home a short time later, and Briggs said the security service would be picking up the box of feces on Sunday. A news helicopter hovering above the home captured the footage of police appearing to sneak a peek inside the unwrapped gift box. I mean, can you imagine that? Hey, what if they sent one of those little robots up to the door? You know, there was a funny story, the bass player from Queens of the Stone Age, the former one, the one that was crazy, Nick Oliveri. He was a wild dude. He was also a bass player for Caius, I believe. He was throwing down in his house, having a crazy party. The cops were called. He didn't answer the door. So he told the story of how he saw this tiny little robot come up on his front porch. He was like, what in the world is this little robot? And he said the robot blew his door open. That's how they were able to get in. And I think he was arrested. I think there was some drugs laying around. But to see a news helicopter flying over Steve Mnuchin's home, to see the bomb squad. Now, they have to take these measures because you don't know. I mean, look what they did in Northern Virginia, where that crazed Bernie Sanders guy decided to try to mow down half of the conservative wing of Congress. You know, that's a look back of the year. So you have to take these threats seriously. I mean, look at, you know, the bomb that went off at the subway in New York, or that didn't go off. It went off on the terrorists that tried to take people out, but it didn't do much more than that. You know, you think about the ginger guy. What's the guy's name? He was trying to set up a terror attack. Everett Jameson, the Muslim who converted to, recently to plan an attack at Pier 39 in San Francisco. He said in a note, "I, Abdallah Everett Ibn Gordon, have committed these acts upon the kafir in the name of Dar al-Islam," which is the Muslim world, "Allah Akbar." Yeah, that guy. You know, when you see things like that happen, you have to take threats like a gift wrap box of poo seriously. And so to watch them detonate a box of horse feces at Steve Mnuchin's home was probably a sight. But that's the thing. That is how the left operates. You know, they don't care about the Christian community because celebrating Christmas, saying Merry Christmas, might offend all these Muslims who are out there attacking Coptic Christian churches, who are out there attacking Christmas markets with vehicles. And the same left is sending boxes of horse manure to Trump cabinet members because they hate the Trump administration that much. That's your Christmas spirit from the left. So keep that in mind when you celebrate Christmas next year. Keep that in mind when we say that there's a war on Christmas and everybody goes, "Oh, there's no war on Christmas. You're crazy." There is. There has been for some time. And it's by the atheist. It's by the Muslim extremist. The fact that you're going to send a box of poo says enough for me. So we're going to get into a few other things on the other side of the break. We'll be back in a sec.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Joining me now is Mike, head librarian from conservativelibrary.com. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, Adrian. How's it going?
Doing well. So 2018 coming up. What do you think was the craziest part of 2017, if you can really nail it down?
Wow. I'm going to have to call it the pro and anti-Trump roller coaster, man. I'd have to say that if you just took Trump and put him down the middle, everything on both sides are the craziest thing that we've had. I'm just going to say Trump's pro and anti.
I was going to say the craziest part to me is how, and I said this earlier in the show, how conservative Trump became near the end, more conservative in policy than the entire Bush family.
Absolutely. You and I both were and still are very big Crew supporters.
Yes.
I was really disappointed in what happened during the primaries. I expected and really wanted and think Crews would have done a nice job. And my big concern was a liberal or rhino agenda. I totally expected that. And I am extremely happy I was completely wrong. He's not going as far as I like, but you know what? He has done so many great things that I never expected. So 100%.
Yeah.
I'm happy with what he's done.
Yeah, I am too. And it's funny because, yeah, it was like a slow, gradual thing because when you went through the primaries, you know, I couldn't stand the way his treatment was. You know, I mean, yeah, it's politics and all, but there was just some low blows and some crazy things. And we all assumed that when he got into power, that he would have this authoritarian streak to him and that he would, you know, do things that were more in favor with the Democrats and not go as full on as he did. And he kind of eased into it. I mean, with the rotating cabinet and can never keep it filled correctly. And by the time it came down to the last few months at the end of the year, that's when he started pulling out all the stops.
Yes, he has. In fact, he seems to be pressing the gas pedal on being a conservative. So that's one thing that I don't understand is the anti-Trumpers, the never-Trumpers, Bill Kristol's, the GOP establishment, in that when Obama was in office, I didn't want him to do bad things to destroy our country so I could say, look, Derek, I told you so. That's the country. Now, he didn't do bad things. I just wanted it to be over with.
Yeah.
The anti-Trumpers and the never-Trumpers, though, they want Trump to do bad things. And even when he does something good, they don't acknowledge it. They still consider it bad. The fact that someone says they're always anti-Trump simply means, for example, they don't support Gorsuch being on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. And that's my thing is the fact that they would go so far as to, because they're only worried about party. You know, they could care less about policy because they want the representation of their party to be, you know, the successes have to be by their people. It can't be by somebody who they didn't put into the GOP leadership. So they get somebody like Trump in there. He's doing all these things, and they don't want to acknowledge any of it. It's amazing to me how they've treated him in that respect.
Yes, they would rather remain in control of a party that's not in power, that these anti-Trumpers are them first, America maybe never, whenever it gets around to it. People have blinders on because their actions and their words are saying it all day long.
Exactly. And that was my thing. You know, Alabama was a good microcosm of that because you had Mitch McConnell's team go out and snipe Mo Brooks out of the game. And then when they thought that they were going to easily win against Roy Moore and he pulls the primary victory, then they just unloaded on him and were willing to donate to the Democrats and back and support them. All because they wanted to give a middle finger to Steve Bannon and they were afraid of what the Bible-thumping Southern Baptist style of a persona that Roy Moore was would desecrate their party. And then you throw on top all these women that showed up. That just made it easier for them to facilitate that assumption.
Well, you are absolutely right. And there's a couple topics that come out of that. One is I expect to see about 1,000 women that I hope come forward with accusations against every GOP establishment candidate in their primaries.
Oh, yeah.
Because that happened with Roy Moore. I expect them to come out and say, I don't have anything but my word against his. And you know what? That's what happened with Roy Moore. You better believe it. For Mitch McConnell to try to help the Democratic opponent so a Republican does not get elected simply because he's afraid of that Republican being not part of the good old boy establishment network, that Mitch McConnell is still in office baffles me.
Well, I mean, think about the fact that we had, and this is one of my issues with Trump, which was my initial problem with him before he started moving in the direction he did, was the Matt Bevin, Mitch McConnell race. You know, Matt Bevin was going to be the one to take out Mitch McConnell and could have, but Trump backed Mitch McConnell and went against Matt Bevin. And then look, Matt Bevin is now the governor. I mean, they liked him. He probably could have pulled that victory out, but Mitch McConnell had to have his power so much so that they ended up, you know, allowing what they've allowed.
I don't know how Mitch McConnell is still in office. Jeff Flake, still in office. How are these clowns ever getting elected and then reelected? I can understand throwing out the, I really want to do the right thing and here's my platform and here's all the points one time. But then when you turn around, stab your constituency in the back to get reelected, it's nuts.
Yeah.
And America needs to stop saying everyone is bad except for my guy. No, there's a good chance your guy is bad, too.
Yeah. I think it needs to come down to, you know, principles and values than it does, you know, political figureheads. You know, I mean, people are always going to let you down. You can't play your favorites. You know, I mean, I like Cruz, but if Cruz, you know, pulled some crazy maneuver on me, I would have been like, oh, see you later. You know, wouldn't have taken much.
Absolutely right. I may like someone just like you. We like what their stand is, but they need to follow through and they need to act on those ideals. Once they stop acting on those ideals, then they're not the person we voted for and I don't need them there anymore.
Exactly. I mean, that's how I look at, you know, you look at Rand Paul, love that guy, but then he made that deal with Mitch McConnell. You look at somebody like Ben Sasse, who can articulate conservatism perfectly, but yet he voted to back the Iran deal, which basically nullified their treaty powers, which isn't conservative at all. You know, you look at the fact that, like Trey Gowdy. Yeah, Trey Gowdy gets out there and he sounds great. Now he's just going to pummel him with his words and just totally ridicule these people and make them look like fools. Follow-throughs with nothing.
That's right. Trey Gowdy's great when there's a hearing going on and then he leaves and nothing ever happens.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jeff Sessions. I mean, when is he going to start prosecuting people?
Jeff Sessions, the attorney general that never was.
Yeah.
Came in, he recused himself from basically everything in the universe and then walked away.
Yeah, I can't figure that out. I mean, there's some baffling things about Trump's cabinet that, you know, the only picks that I see that were, you know, excellent picks are, you know, FCC chairman, you know, or maybe what's his name? The EPA the head of the EPA, who wants to do away with the EPA, you know?
And we should do it with Department of Education. But I got to tell you, Nikki Haley's doing a good job.
Yeah, she's been awesome. My gosh, did you see where she slashed the budget? I think they've recommended that, but the budget of what the U.S. is going to provide to the U.N.?
I did not see that.
I'll have to pull that story up because I do want to go into it, but it's a pretty amazing story. After she got on the floor and basically said, hey, you guys want to condemn us for recognizing Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and now you're going to turn around and say we're going to vote against you and basically reprimand us. We're not going to give you any money. Trump said, we don't need those people anyways. And now they've proposed a budget that follows through and shows a big middle finger to the UN, which I can do all day.
Yes. $285 million slash.
It needs to happen. I mean, we are a sovereign nation. We don't need to have any dealings with the UN. And the UN is always against our interest anyways.
Yes, we are the main financier of the United Nations, which is an organization of countries around the world that take our money and then tell us how much they hate us and then vote against us.
Yeah.
And then tell us they need some more money.
Yeah. I mean, you get Ahmadinejad out there ripping us apart on the floor. And then you get Hugo Chavez when he was still alive saying the place smells like sulfur because George W. Bush got up there and spoke and he must be Satan. Why do we support that?
I don't understand why we're in the United Nations at this time. It does us absolutely no good. And the only people you're going to find that support the United Nations are leftists who say, well, we need to be in the United Nations because we need to be part of the, I don't know, the grand scheme of things. But we're not part of anything. We're basically financing a place where we can go and get slapped around like a bee.
Yeah.
And that's it. We need to be gone from the United Nations. Ask Americans. I bet your listeners would say, absolutely, we need to be out of the United Nations. And not only are we the number one financier of the United Nations, we're borrowing money to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we get up in front of the Legion of Doom Star Wars bar and, you know, we get reprimanded. But yet, and that's the thing is the leftists always go, well, you know, we got to worry about the Geneva Convention whenever there's an argument. No, it's the Geneva Convention. That means nothing. That doesn't supersede the Constitution. But we fund all of this. That's the most amazing part of it all. We support the entire fight against us.
Well, that's the one thing that I would like to see Trump actually follow through with is America first. I don't quite get the populist nationalist movement thing. There are some things that I've heard that I don't really like. However, taking care of our country first before we dole out cash to the rest of the world is absolutely something we need to do and should have been doing for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, trade policy, you know, I've got an issue with, you know, we can't be isolationist on free trade, but, you know, we do have to kind of put our interests above the other nations. I mean, do you see the UN doing anything in Syria? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, if there's an interest that needs to be addressed, Syria would be it. I mean, you've got Russia and Iran out there and Turkey turning that into a little proxy war on who's going to build the next caliphate. It's amazing. UN's nowhere to be found.
No, they're not, because they're run by the same people that are doing these things that we oppose.
Yeah. Well, I got to run.
Yeah, go ahead. Just real quick. Did you see that one of the South American countries is also moving their embassy to Jerusalem, following our footsteps?
Was it Guatemala? I saw Guatemala. Yes.
Yeah, Guatemala.
Amazing. I think you're going to see a cascading effect, and you're going to see a lot more countries start to follow through on that, especially if they have some sort of Christian values, you know, or Christian makeup as far as their founding of their nations, you know.
Adrian, thanks for calling us. Always awesome to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. That is Mike from conservativelibrary.com. Go on the website, conservativelibrary.com, and check it out. We'll be back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
All right, so let's talk about 2018. Let old acquaintance be forgot. And you too, Hillary. We want to forget you. In fact, Vanity Fair came up with 6 New Year's resolutions for Hillary Clinton. And they say maybe it's time for Hillary Clinton to take up a new hobby in 2018. Just check out these suggestions.
It's time to start working on your sequel to your book, What Happened? What the hell happened?
Get someone in your tech staff to disable autofill on your iPhone so that typing an F doesn't become Form Exploratory Committee for 2020.
You know, on Anderson Cooper, you were telling him about alternate nostril breathing. You seem really adept. You should try teaching a class.
Take more photos in the woods. How else are you going to meet unsuspecting hikers?
Take up a new hobby in the new year. Volunteer work, knitting, improv comedy, literally anything that'll keep you from running again.
To finally put away your James Comey voodoo doll. Now, we all know you think that James Comey cost you the election, and he might have, but so did a handful of other things. It's a year later and time to move on.
So cheers to you, Hillary Clinton.
Cheers to you, Hillary.
Cheers to you, Hillary Clinton.
Great suggestions for some New Year's resolutions for Hillary Rodham Clinton. And what other New Year's resolutions should be made in the year of the dog 2018? Well, the Democrats should resolve to lighten up on the Marxism that hijacked their party and decimated their bench. They should resolve to allow for a fair primary process, one that which currently allows superdelegates to override the will of its constituents in favor of whomever is next in line, which has resulted in the current Democrat Party civil war that you're witnessing. Obama should resolve to just shut the hell up and go away like other past presidents, and Bill Clinton should resolve to turn his crooked sexual predator ass in to the authorities. Nancy Pelosi should resolve to retire and get some of that tin man oil for her joints. Sheila Jackson Lee should resolve to reimburse the lady that she put into economy coach seating after she stole her first class spot. Chuck Schumer should resolve to stop being a douche canoe, which will be extremely difficult. Joe Biden should resolve to get out in front of the upcoming numerous sexual assault claims that will arise in his 2020 run for president. The Republican Party should resolve to quit using the term conservative to describe themselves, as they clearly don't embrace any of the tenets of conservatism. They should resolve to end the friendly fire they inflict upon some of the most conservative candidates, to end the sniping of staunch conservatives in their primaries, and if unsuccessful, to stop donating to the Democrat opponents. And if the Republican Party should follow what it means to be a conservative, they should resolve to plead its case, have cohesive messaging that actually hits the youth and those who are on the political fence directly in their hearts and minds. Mitch McConnell should resolve to become the Democrat Senate Majority Leader. Paul Ryan should resolve to put his money where his mouth is and resign in 2018. John McCain should resolve to spend his remaining days with his family and not spending it causing political chaos in the Republican Party at the twilight of his life on a personal mission to provide retribution against President Trump. Mitt Romney should resolve to follow Obama's resolution and go the heck away as well, even though he couldn't even win the presidency the few times he's attempted to run. Evan McMullen should resolve to recognize his utter irrelevancy, because no one cares what to hear what head has to say. Trey Gowdy and Ben Sasse, they should resolve to actually practice what they bark. Jeff Sessions should resolve to get his attorney general on and finally begin prosecuting some people. Bill Kristol and the neocon Never Trumpers, they should resolve to look at the accomplishments of the Trump administration without attaching Trump's actual name to them. They'd be pleasantly surprised. Nikki Haley, she doesn't even need to resolve to make a New Year's resolution at all, as she's already spearheading the move to cut the spending of the UN and reevaluate the standing of our country with the Legion of Doom Star Wars bar. Thank God for her. The media should resolve to stop playing sides for the socialist left. They should resolve to stop making fake news, end the clickbait headlines that don't match the body of their articles. They should resolve to end erroneous, malicious hit pieces on the front page headlines and then issuing the corrections on page 608. We as a nation should resolve to put better people in power. Why not resolve to have them address the national debt? Why not resolve to attack illegal immigration and get it under control? Why not resolve to monitor mosques that are being told to authorities that radical extremist speech is inciting violent jihad and is being spoken in these places? We as a nation must resolve to put tribalism and politics aside. We must resolve to look past political interest and start thinking about our brothers and sisters as human beings again. We must resolve to end division and find things that unite us. And we finally must resolve to make our nation turn its eyes back to God, to truly make America great again. I'm Adrian Slade. You can hear me on the Talk America radio channel, on the Liberty channel, Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturdays at 9 a.m., Saturday evening at 10 p.m., and on the Justice channel, Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Saturdays at 7 p.m., Sundays at 8 a.m. You can hear the podcast on demand, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Spreaker, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. You can also get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in the streaming store and become a subscriber, patreon.com/Adrian Slade Show. Donate $2 a month, and you will be able to help us do much more. Until next time, we'll see you.